hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio.
Right.
Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
All right. Well, good afternoon and welcome to the National Intel Report. I am your host, not John Stadmiller today. This is Chris Hinckley. I am, of course, the host typically of Road Warrior Radio. I bat cleanup on the RBN lineup, and I guess John wasn't feeling well today, so I was asked to sit in, and so it's an honor and a pleasure. And I thought I'd start with a little humor. We'll get into what I refer to as the news as I see it to kind of warm up the National Intel Report, and hopefully we'll be able to get into your calls. If you like, the phone lines will be open. I'll give you some fodder, I guess, and we'll go to that. The phone lines will be open, and the number, of course, is 800-313-9443. But the news as I see it is what I refer to as a light and engaging blend of news and information drawn from a unique variety of sources, designed and intended to help you sift through the mountain of lies and disinformation constantly competing for our attention and bombarding our psyche, as we know. But the humor that I thought I'd start with, my wife says I'm too serious a lot of the time, and I say, you know, if you saw things the way that I see them and you were trying to communicate that to people, you would feel like you were constipated all the time too. And you'd probably express yourself that way. So anyway, I thought we'd start with a little humor at my expense, including Mr. Stadmiller himself. I played this clip last year, but it's always fun to go back and remind ourselves. So this is from last year. Enjoy.
Chris, John, RBN. Hey, why is it – I just heard your recording here for your phone message. Why don't you do your radio programming – like you just did the recording for your phone message? You sound like you're sitting there talking to your probation officer while you're on air. Your information is good. Your syntax is good. The content's good. But you just sound like somebody is holding a gun to your head, man. I want this show to succeed because you're a bright guy and I like you. But for God's sakes, man. I don't mean to be crude here, but it sounds like somebody's got your nuts in a vise and they're closing them. They're tightening down on you. Give me a call at the network when you get this. This is meant in good humor, by the way. 800-724-2719. All right.
End of message to call the sender.
And, of course, it was received in good humor. I appreciate it. So, you know, hey, if we can't laugh at ourselves, then I guess we probably ought to find something else to do. But, you know, I'm telling you, if you saw these things the way that I see them, you would understand why I think his interpretation is absolutely accurate and fair. So, anyway, we'll be right back with, as I said, the news as I see it and your calls if you feel so compelled. Stick around. Be right back.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt Expert System has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Guaranteed.com.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
How many of you think outside the box? Most consumers don't think outside the box. It is what it is. Life Change Tea goes against the flow. Against the flow of soda, against the flow of caffeine, against the flow of sugar, against the flow of unhealthy. Life Change Tea comes out of the box to get you healthy. And if you don't take the tea out of the box, it can't help you. So what are you waiting for? Get out of the box. Call us 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Life Change Tea, the out of the box approach.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right, I'm flattered. And as I said, I'm not John Stadtmiller. Chris Hinckley, I bet, clean up Monday through Friday on the Republic lineup, but I am flattered. Maybe there's a resemblance or something. Just kidding. All right, so this is the National Intel Report, and to fire up the engines, let me get us kicked off. In case you want to discuss any of the subject matter, I'm just going to go rapid fire through some talking points that are recurrent, some recurrent themes in the headlines that seem to, well, they just don't want to go away. And so we'll grab a few news items. I'm actually going to go back probably a day or two, I think. And we'll start there. Backing up to the 10th. Let's see. What do I have here? China, this is, you know, this story keeps rattling around. China harassed U.S. ship, the Pentagon says. This installment was on the 10th, New York Times, page 8. I thought it was interesting, by the way. You notice right up front the jurisdiction. I'm kind of giving it away, but the headline is China harassed U.S. ship, the Pentagon says. First line in the story, the U.S. has lodged a formal protest with the Beijing government, saying that five Chinese ships harassed an American surveillance vessel in international waters in actions the Pentagon described as illegal, unprofessional, and dangerous. So I think it's interesting that right off the bat you get U.S. and Beijing, United States being headquartered in the District of Columbia, and that is a municipal corporation and administrative democracy. And that, of course, gets into the discussion that I've been having on my broadcast for a number of weeks now, that we have a system of dual federalisms. You can't understand this thing that we call government, the machinery at work that runs this country. If you don't understand that there are dual federalisms, one, a constitutional republic that's basically gone dark or been silent for decades now, and for a lot more information on that, you can listen to just about any broadcast that Ralph Winterroth has done over the last, gosh, countless number of weeks, detailing that fact, the fact that Senator McCarran said in the 1946 congressional record that they had created a fourth branch of government known commonly as administrative in nature, and that wasn't even a new discussion in 1946. You go back to 1924, for example, in the American Journal of Public Health, and you can find published documentation of the fact that even in 1924, Congress was holding proceedings already for what they referred to as the reorganization of the administrative branch of the federal government. So anyway, this is, you know, a person asked me recently, is that a secret or is it common knowledge? And I said, well, it's the secret common knowledge, which is why in 1952, Justice Jackson, dissenting in the case that was being, you know, the case in question, said that if you don't understand that, this fourth dimension, as they refer to it, or fourth branch of the government, unsettles our three-branch legal theories much as a fourth dimension would unsettle our three-dimensional thinking. In other words, what he was saying is if you don't understand there's a fourth branch of government, you can't possibly ever understand how what we call government works. So anyway, the only reason I point that out is to clarify that this headline in the first sentence says the U.S., which is that fourth branch, representative of that fourth branch. And by the way, it's not four branches. In truth, it's three or one. You either have three, the three duly constituted, or the one administrative monolith in truth, which I believe is exactly what JFK was referring to back in 61, I believe it was, when he said in what is typically referred to as a secret society speech addressing the press corps, when he said, "For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy." I think, you know, the administrative system, which is a global system, is probably a large portion of what he was referring to. So anyway, the two administrative jurisdictions are represented. The U.S. has lodged a formal protest with the Beijing government, not the Chinese government, the Beijing government, saying that five Chinese ships harassed an American surveillance vessel in international waters. In actions the Pentagon described as illegal, unprofessional, and dangerous. Moving on real quick. I think I've belabored that enough with the administrative point. In Afghanistan, which of course is in the headlines every day these days, jumping into that issue, U.S. halted – this is New York Times, March 10th, page 6. U.S. halted – some Afghan raids over concern of deaths. This was an interesting story. The commander of a secretive branch of America's Special Operations Forces. I guess I would take a parenthetical break there. How secretive is it if it's published in the New York Times? I always wonder, do they think the Taliban can't read or something? Commander of a secretive branch last month ordered a halt to most commando missions in Afghanistan, reflecting growing concern that civilian deaths caused by U.S. firepower are jeopardizing broader goals there. And that is a reflection of the administrative system I was talking about before as well. you know, you think about it, it just, it's a reflection of this administrative system. I mean, here we have the situation going on over there, and it's like Alan Watt always says, this is a system that's unopposed. It has no competition. Although it kind of creates its own competition, I would say it's kind of a Tontine system, if you will. It has as its motto, you might say, the slogan or the phrase from the Highlander series, "There can be only one." And they're always kind of operating with that modus operandi. Next story, New York Times, March 10. Also, a U.S. general says allies not winning Afghan war. That goes together with the previous story and another like it in the London Telegraph, same day. That, of course, is General McKiernan. And he's saying that he's the commander of NATO and American forces, saying that we're not winning regarding the resurgent Taliban in parts of Afghanistan. And he raised the possibility of the American military reaching out to the moderate elements of the Taliban, much as it did with the Sunni militias in Iraq, which is a recurrent theme that's being harped on. And it's kind of picking up momentum, has been for the last 18 to 24 months. You see it about 24 months ago, it was starting to catch a little bit of traction. Now you're hearing it about every week and sometimes every day, this idea of talking to the Taliban, moderate elements of the Taliban. But what's the main recurrent theme, I would ask, in this? It's not about winning. It never has been about winning. Go back to any major conflict. It's all about business. Smedley Butler, obviously, is the best, most authoritative and credible source to understand that war is just a racket, and you can call it whatever you want, conflict. It's everything, you know, same, arose by any other name, same thing. And what's interesting about that, actually, is it's about managed conflict. You can go look up the CRS report, Congressional Research Service report, titled NATO and Afghanistan, where you literally realize that the reason the NATO forces are in Afghanistan is that it's a test of the political will of the alliance, they say, right in the executive summary of the Congressional Research Service report. And the purpose of the mission in Afghanistan, it says, is the stabilization and reconstruction of Afghanistan. Can you imagine? That's the purpose for the allies, NATO in Afghanistan, including the United States. That's the purpose. And then from there, I would say you can look at a CSIS address that was given by John Alterman late last year, where he talked about this idea of managed conflict. I might grab that in the next segment, see if I can find that and give you an excerpt out of that. I've referred to it on my broadcast frequently because it gives you an idea of what's actually happening over there in that region. It's just astonishing what these policy shapers are saying about that situation. And by the way, the way that you win a war, especially of aggression, which all of our involvement in the Middle East is to not fight it. And like I said, you just have to read Smedley Butler to hear from one of the most credible authorities on the subject matter. Jumping over to Iraq, this headline was in the Mideast Stars and Stripes on the 10th, with handouts and grants, troops hope to help the slum. This was an interesting story. I'm not going to go through it, but there's another story. You see this, obviously, you see this idea of democracy, fragile new democracy, they say, in Iraq, floating around. Speaking of democracy, here's how you further terminally cripple an already disheveled people. You give them handouts and grants. Don't teach them how to fish. Let them fish for themselves. Anyway, we'll be right back after the short break. Stick around.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
Newsflash. Unemployment is soaring over 10%. The dollar is plummeting, and banks are beginning to close their doors. Financial experts are saying we are headed for an economic depression. 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 The world is on the brink of total meltdown. Unless you expect the government to bail you out, you must be able to grow your own healthy food. Newsflash. SurvivalistSeeds.com has just released a brand new heirloom seed pack at a dramatically reduced price. Dramatically reduced. So you and your family have a long-term food solution. 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 The choice between starvation and freedom is made by you right now. Right now. Go to SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. Because you are almost out of time. Time. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
That's, that is the way that you solidify a fragile new democracy, by the way. And democracy, according to the founders of this country, the republic, as Franklin said, if you can keep it when asked, democracy was the most vile form of government to them. A democratic voice is a wonderful thing, should be maintained, but a republic protects the majority from the minority. That was the whole idea. That's why you won't find the term democracy as a form of government anywhere in our founding documents. So why this continual harping on the term democracy and installing democracies? Why are we using this idea of preemptive attack all around the globe as a pretext to installing democracies around the world? Well, because it goes back to that age-old plot of conquering the world through democracy, literally. And democracy as a form of government is a wonderful way to breed immaturity and irresponsibility in people. And to cause a fragile new democracy, as they keep referring to Iraq as, to remain a fragile democracy, you do what I said, which comes from the headline in the Mideast Stars and Stripes on March 10th, with handouts and grants. Troops hope to help the slum in East Baghdad. I have a friend where I am locally who says, you know, because of that kind of mentality in our country today, people are so non-self-sufficient, you could say, that if and when things ever go awry, as John usually refers to, this friend of mine says, these people in this country will probably run outside their front door and wait for a UN drop on their front lawn because they just have no clue. And I would agree, unfortunately. But that's how you, as I said, that's how you further terminally cripple an already disheveled people. The example is another story drawn from the Christian Science Monitor, same day, the 10th. Violence is down, but many Iraqis still can't go home. Most of Iraq's internal displaced people are unable to return to their houses. The lack of basic services and an inability to rebuild their war-damaged homes keeps them away. And unfortunately, that's exactly what's supposed to happen over there. So anyway, without further ado, let's go to the phones real quick. We have Quince in Pennsylvania. Quince, thanks for calling in. Welcome.
Hey, thanks. I just wanted to do a little plug for your show because some people don't stay up that late. I do, and I try to catch all your shows, and I'd like to recommend that your listeners, or John Statenroy's listeners, tune into your show because, you know, I don't think you sound like you have your balls in vice. On the contrary, I find you very easy to listen to. You always take current events and peel them back and show where all the cords are connected, and you're very easy to listen to, and your thoughts are well put together, and it's just a great show. I recommend it highly.
Thanks, Quince. I really appreciate it. And I really enjoy obviously I've received some email. We've exchanged some thoughts and stuff, and I appreciate the tag that you the append on all of your emails, the quote. It's one of my favorites by Thomas Pynchon. If they can keep you asking the wrong questions, they never have to worry about the right answers. I love it.
Well, rock on. I wouldn't change
Thanks.
A thing. I think your delivery is just fine. Just keep doing it.
Well, it's, you know, I think it's changed since John left that message a little bit. And, you know, I certainly appreciate what he was saying. But, you know, thanks for the sentiments. I appreciate that as well.
Maybe you could talk a little bit today on the Administrative Procedures Act, because, you know, the only time that really gets touched upon during the daytime is either when Ralph is on or no, I haven't heard it mentioned much during the daytime. So this audience may not be too familiar with that topic.
I agree. And in fact, when Lieutenant Eric Schein was on yesterday, I was kind of thinking about that as they were going through some of the discussion that they were having yesterday on John's show. And I agree. You know, it is, I think it's a continual source of consternation. I'll try to touch on that more. And I was trying to point that out at the outset. You know, I really believe that if you don't understand that, and the Administrative Procedures Act really represents the culmination of and the, you know, legitimization of the administrative system. If you don't understand that, then you can't possibly understand how what we call government works. It's just not possible.
I'll be listening.
And then they keep you asking the wrong questions, right? I mean, that's one of the best ways to do it.
Yeah, they keep diverting you.
Yeah.
So you'll stay away from even asking the question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I'll try to dial in on that a little bit.
I'll be listening, Chris.
All right. Thanks, Quince. I agree. You know, and that is one of my favorite quotes, by the way. I've always appreciated that. That's gets right to the heart of the matter. So, like I said, you know, Thomas Pynchon said it. He said it best. If they can keep you asking the wrong questions, they never have to worry about the right answers. It's true. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All right, so going through some interesting information. I'll tell you what, you know, speaking of Quince's point, the administrative system, as I would say, and, you know, it really does kind of center on the Administrative Procedure Act of 1946 and the congressional record, particularly of the Senate in 1946 in the run-up to the passage of the Administrative Procedure Act, is really – it's really telling, absolutely incredible. And, you know, I believe that certainly most recently we have Ralph Winterow to thank for – really kind of shining light on how scandalous it was, the conversation that Congress was having about the administrative system. It's just incredible. You go back and read the discussion that was being had. You can find that online. But the three documents that I personally point to, or that I think of, that for anyone that's interested and that is not familiar with that information, the three documents that I think are probably the most succinct and informative to help you understand what exactly this thing is, just as a primer to build on, are number one, an article that was published by the John Marshall Law Review back in 1986, And you can go to a website called Scribd, S-C-R-I-B-D.com. I'll see if we can throw the link to these in the archive. I actually got a copy of this article that was published in 1986. I couldn't find it anywhere online, but I kept finding in Congressional Research Service reports and various different pieces of legislation, even, for example, all the way up to the last legislative session, the 110th session, a piece of legislation introduced by John Conyers referred to this article. And when you read it, you understand why, because it describes that system that I was talking about perfectly in detail. It's very succinct. It's a 27-page article, but it's just – it's unbelievable, shocking. 146 citations, irrefutable, factual evidence, and it's published by one of the most well-respected law reviews in the country, over 100 years old, the John Marshall Law Review. And the title of the article is The Third House of Congress Versus the Fourth Branch of Government, The Impact of Congressional Committee Staff on Agency Regulatory Decision Making, which kind of sounds like mumbo jumbo. What does that mean? Well, the first paragraph really spells it out. It says, this article presents a simple yet unsettling proposition. Regulatory decision making, among the most intrusive and pervasive aspects of federal activity, is largely the product of two politically unaccountable bureaucracies, unelected congressional committee staffs and unelected regulatory agency officials comprise these two politically unaccountable bureaucracies. But here's where it gets interesting. Next sentence is, both of these bureaucracies have developed outside the constitutional framework. Modern regulatory decision-making, therefore, is not the result of formal directives or interactions between the regulators, those people that we elect and their constitutionally elected masters. Instead, modern regulatory decision-making is the result of only informal negotiations between the unelected congressional committee staff members and the unelected regulatory agency officials. And you can go to any legislative tracking website, govtrack.us, for example, or even Congress's own page or site, you know, thomas.gov, and you can see that all legislation comes from committee and goes back into committee once it's put into play, so to speak, by Congress. It hits the congressional floor from committee, and Congress, you know, says, should we put this ball in play? And if they say yes, then it goes right back into committee and subcommittee to be smithed. They get boilerplate legislation dropped on the congressional floor. It's always vague and nondescript. For proof, just go look. You'll see for yourself. If it came out of committee, you can go to govtrack.us, for example, and it'll say that it's in play, but it's in committee after it's hit the congressional floor and they, you know, give it action or give it play. And you can look at any piece of legislation that's in committee right now that has just been addressed by Congress as being put in play, and you can clearly see that it's all very vague and nondescript, boilerplate legislation. You're not supposed to know what it's all about until it comes out of the think tanks and policy institutes that James P. Hill was writing about in this article back in 1986. And then from there, the other two that I would mention that look back from there, because James P. Hill was looking back. The information that he was reflecting on for the purposes of his article was largely around the period of the mid-70s that he was reflecting on. And you look back to there, and it wasn't a new discussion there. So you go back to an article titled The Brownlow-Brookings Feud, which you can find at the same site that I mentioned. And the subtitle is The Politics of Dissent Within the Academic Community. This is another just wonderful citation, very brief and succinct, but talking about how these committees pass themselves off or really try to maintain the facade of nonpartisanship and unbiased objectivity, and yet, in fact, they always have an objective. They always have an ulterior motive. And the reason I mentioned that one is because, you know, obviously Quince pointed out the Administrative Procedure Act, and the President's Committee on Administrative Management was a part of that discussion. That was the committee that they used to gather information to promulgate the reaction. We have a problem. The committee has identified the problem. Everyone reacts, oh my goodness, that's where, in the Congressional Record, for example, they're quoting the 37 report, President's Committee on Administrative Management report, the report produced by the committee, that said, the executive branch of the government of the United States has grown up without plan or design. To look at it now, no one would ever recognize the structure which the founding fathers erected a century and a half ago. This is a quote out of the report produced by the 1936 committee, President's Committee on Administrative Management. The report was produced in January of 1937, but went on to say, commissions have been the result of legislative groping rather than the pursuit of consistent policy. They are in reality miniature independent governments set up to deal with the railroad problem, the banking problem, or the radio problem. They constitute a headless fourth branch of the government, a haphazard deposit of irresponsible agencies and uncoordinated powers. And went on to say that they constitute a fourth branch of the federal government, and they do violence to the three duly constituted. And I would say, yes, they seek to kill the three duly constituted branches. It is an administrative fascist monolith run by Soviet councils and committees. And the word Soviet really is just another term for committee. So you have all these committees and subcommittees that are actually the machinery or the functionaries of what we call government. The elected officials really do nothing, little or nothing. They're window dressing these days. So anyway, that's drawn out of the Congressional Record of the Senate back in 1946, quoting that report, that the article that I mentioned, the Brownlow-Brookings feud, the politics of dissent within the academic community, is drawn from. That's a real extensive look into the mechanics of the committee and what was happening internally in that committee and a competing committee. That was a committee referred to also as the Brownlow Committee. And then Brookings, the Brookings Institution was commissioned simultaneously to produce a similar report. And so they were supposedly working together, but there was a competing interest because of one particular issue, and I won't get into that, but you can read the article. Anyway, so the point is that looks back to the 1930s, and even then it wasn't a new discussion, which takes me to the third piece of information that I usually point people to, and all of these are very brief. It's between it's around 60 to 70 pages in total to really understand exactly how the mechanics of what we call government works. The last piece I would recommend is a Heritage Foundation article in the First Principles series that they have over there, and it's number 16 in the First Principles series, titled The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From, and What It Means for Limited Government, by a man named Ronald J. Pistrito. And it's very telling, and that'll take you back to the late 1800s or so, the late 19th century, and give you a window into the progressive era architects of the administrative state and how they knew exactly what they were doing. Folks like Woodrow Wilson, for example, a man who, you know, most of us who have watched Freedom to Fascism understand that he said, you know, I have unwittingly ruined my, I'm a most unhappy man. I have unwittingly ruined my country. You know what? If you just read that article that I mentioned, and you will come away with a renewed loathing of Woodrow Wilson. It's unbelievable. Just reading that article, how vigorously he had been opposing the Constitution and the vision of the founders for decades before he ever said what he said there. And, you know, then you'll start to be able to recognize the contemporaries of those progressive change artists and the fact that, you know, they obviously employ the Hegelian method of sophistry by taking a good thing and then sticking a bad thing to it. There are some news stories I was going to get to here in a minute that it's clearly evident. You know, they're always talking about hospitals or, you know, orphans and widows and, you know, we have to pass this piece of legislation. One example recently is the Michigan man, Marvin Scherr, the 90-plus-year-old man who apparently passed away because his heat was turned off in his house up there in Michigan. And literally one day later, two Michigan legislators were introducing legislation to curb that kind of behavior. That's what they do. And the legislation was disingenuous. It wasn't designed to help people like Marvin. You look through it, and it was a bad thing stuck to a good cause, is my point. So hopefully that is helpful, and hopefully I've pointed to some documentation that will help you understand that. The Congressional Record of the Senate is also at that site. I'll try to make sure that that goes into the archive today as well if you're interested. Those four resources, the three articles and the Congressional Record of the Senate, are, wow, a wealth of information that if you've never heard of the administrative branch of the federal government, the fourth branch, I think we should just start calling it the fourth. You know, they used to call the Comintern the Communist International. They would refer to it as the third. We should refer to the fourth branch of the government as the new Communist International, the new Comintern, or the fourth. Might be appropriate. Anyway, back to the news. Like I said, the phone lines are open. Feel free, 800-313-9443. And more fodder. More fodder. This is out of Norfolk, the Virginian pilot on March 10th. I think the headline itself is chilling. It says, for the men and women who play it, the game is no game. And the story, you know, goes on to say, computer programmers at the Joint Training Counter, IED, Operations Integration Center, create an ever-changing virtual world where soldiers and Marines can practice searching for improvised explosive devices, which is what an IED is, before setting foot in a war zone. But, you know, the idea that for the men and women who play it, this is no game, that really has application in everything that you read about these days. CQ, the Congressional Quarterly publication, put out a story, Obama seeks to delay tanker, cancel bomber. The White House has advised the Pentagon to delay procurement of aerial refueling tankers by 5 years and cancel plans for a new long-range bomber. Now, that's a story that most people – you see that story all over the place. You see changing of the guard in the Air Force, for example, on a regular basis. You look at guys names like Secord and Reichert, and you go through the history, and that's not a story I think most people are familiar with, but if you're interested, you can grab a CSIS report. Go to CSIS.org. CSIS is the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And in terms of think tanks, I think in this day and age, just about everybody's heard of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, Royal Institute of International Affairs, et cetera, et cetera. But in my opinion, CSIS is where the fast water is these days. And if you're interested in what the real movers and shakers are saying, you definitely want to go check out some of the things that they're saying at CSIS, because you'll notice if you read their reports there, that's basically like a window. It's like the magic eight ball. You read their reports, and 3 to 9 months later, That's exactly what's happening. I think they ought to buy lottery tickets over there. But the report I'd refer you to, if you're interested, is a piece called America's Self-Destroying Air Power, Becoming Your Own Peer Threat, by Anthony Cordesman, who's an old-school bad guy. You read that report and you'll understand why you keep seeing this continual thread of stories about the tanker program, which I think is interesting. It's real insightful, and I won't get off into that right now, but I think it's a fascinating piece that it's always there. You'll see that story circulate about at least once a week. And then you'll find out why when you read that report. Anyway, we'll be right back after this short break. Stick around.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The new World Order Beast is genetically modifying your food. Genetically modifying. Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses. Viruses. Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender. Surrender. All canned food supplies will eventually run out. What then? Then. Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company. And it's owned by a real patriot, Big John Lipscomb. You can now have an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Final segment here today, and I didn't mention it. I need to mention that you're tuned in live this Thursday, March 12th, 2009. Need to do that, obviously. Let's go back to the phones real quick. Jim in Missouri, thanks for calling in and welcome.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Sounds like you've been better.
I have been, but that's okay. As long as I can still get a sound out, I'll keep talking.
I have a friend who says, I ask him how he's doing. He says, hey, I'm able to sit up and take nourishment, which, you know, I guess it's okay.
Yeah. Well, in what you're talking about, this administrative stuff, I don't know. Did you have a chance to listen to John Stattmiller's show last night?
With Lieutenant Eric Schein?
Yes.
I didn't catch all of it. I caught, I would say, the majority of it.
Well, I found it real curious that he kept talking about these administrative courts in the military, and I'm going, what are you talking about?
And the ALJs. You know what the bottom line is there, and I wanted to point that out. I'm glad you brought that up because the bottom line is the entire system is administrative, and it's born out of Article 1 of the Constitution, and it is outside the Constitution. Like I said, the article back in 1986 points out. It's not unconstitutional, it's non-constitutional in commerce, which is why you see the gold fringe around the flags, and all that stuff makes perfect sense when you understand the discussion in its entirety. But it's an administrative system, and the military power that that he was talking about is under the corporate jurisdiction of the United States. It's the United States military. You and I know, most of the listeners, that the Constitution clearly says that Congress can raise funds for standing armies for a period of 2 years.
Right.
But we've had the military-industrial complex forever. How is that? Well, it's because it's the United States military, not the military of the United States of America. Anyway, I'm glad you brought that point up.
Yeah,
I would encourage
anybody that didn't listen to that to get into the archives and listen to that show. That's a big eye opener for people.
Yeah, I agree. Was there something else that you were going to point out?
Oh yeah, I just wanted to make this announcement. There's a group that has been having conference calls every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern time for about the last 90 plus weeks. They get people like Dr. Orley and some of the other people that have the lawsuits going on about, over the Obama being a natural citizen or not, and they get all sorts of people. Bob Schultz from We the People, just about everybody. But the good thing about this, what makes it a little bit different from these radio programs, is that people can actually interact. And if we could, after the pause here, the break, I'll give the phone number out for everybody. You can call in.
I think this is it. Last segment.
Okay,
you want to give it out real quick?
605-475-8500. And the PIN is 509-2984-POUND.
Great stuff. And I think that's going to just about do it for us. Don, sorry we missed you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Jim, for the call. Thanks, Quince. You know what? You're right. We'll be right back, I guess. We'll be right back after the break. Stick around. We'll be right back.
With recent